Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. The new HBO horror drama series Lovecraft Country has black protagonists in mid-20th century America confronting monsters, both the imaginary kind and the very real racist kind. The show is set in part in Chicago and was also filmed in downstate locations such as Elburn and LaSalle. And from the very first episode, called Sundown, the series takes on the horrors of racism in Jim Crow America. Here's a clip of the main characters in the series being stopped by a police officer in a sundown town, of which, by the way, there were dozens in Illinois.
Who are you?
George Freeman, sir. This here is my nephew, Atticus, and his friend, Letitia.
Where y'all from?
Chicago, sir.
You're a long way from home.
Oh, we're just passing through, taking a little bathroom break, sir, is all.
Any of you all know what a sundown town is?
Yes, sir, we do.
Well, this is a sundown county. And if I had found you pissing in my woods like animals after dark, it would have been my sworn duty to hang every single one of you from them trees.
It's not sundown yet.
Sunset is at 7:09 today. That's 7 minutes from now.
Then we'll be out of the county in six.
Now that's impossible heading south on the road you're currently on. Unless you were to speed. And if you were to speed, I'd have to pull you over.
Then we'll head north.
That might work. Why don't you give it a try?
We will, sir.
Joining us now to talk about the series Lovecraft Country are Aja Romano, staff writer for Vox covering culture. Hello, Aja. Welcome to the 21st.
Thanks for having me.
And we also have Kennedy Hill, who's a freelance journalist and a contributor to Pop Sugar. Hello, Kennedy. Thank you for being here as well.
Hi, happy to be here.
And listeners, we want to invite you to join the conversation. Our lines are open at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Have you watched Lovecraft Country? What do you think of the series? Or if you have a question for one of our guests, you can always give us a call, 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21st Show. That's at 21st Show. AJ, I want to begin with you. So for listeners who may not have seen the show, who may not be aware, what is Lovecraft Country and what's it based on?
So Lovecraft Country is based on a book by the same title. And the book itself is what we might call a work of Lovecraftian fiction, which means it's set in this universe that essentially was created by H.P. Lovecraft back in the first half of the 20th century, where and by when I say Lovecraftian, I mean that Lovecraft as a writer used specific tropes and ideas of the universe in his horror fiction and fantasy fiction that basically involved the idea of monsters from other worlds being very close to our own universe so that they can sort of sneak through and offer horrifying glimpses of the beyond to us. And this idea that we're steeped in cosmic terror. So in this world where there's cosmic terror all around us, Lovecraft Country, the book and now the series, is a deconstruction of that from the perspective of being a Black American in the Jim Crow South, or excuse me, the Jim Crow North in the 50s in America. And it's basically positing that to a Black American in living in the mid-century, the cosmic terror is secondary to the sort of routinized systemic everyday horror of racial injustice that they face. And so it's using Lovecraft, who we're becoming more and more aware was a deeply, deeply racist writer, as a way to sort of address embedded racism in horror and fantasy tropes, while also giving you basically characters who are main characters who are Black, which is a rare thing in horror by itself, and placing them at the center of the story.
Kennedy, you've written on the series for Pop Sugar, and the title of one of your pieces is How Lovecraft Country Challenges H.P. Lovecraft's Racist Legacy. But before we hear an answer to that, just can you tell us who was H.P. Lovecraft?
Yeah, of course. So H.P. Lovecraft, as we think of him now, was a very prolific science fiction writer and fantasy writer. And kind of like most people who were, I guess, geniuses for their time. He wasn't really recognized till after he had died and his work was really delved into. But basically, he became very popular for creating this universe of just monsters and otherworldly encounters with people or things that weren't human, per se. And he's inspired many filmmakers that we love today. And his creatures have really just kind of taken a world of their own in terms of horror fiction and sci-fi fiction.
So that's, I guess, sort of the upside of his legacy. But he was also an unapologetic white supremacist and racist, right? Can you say, and as I said, your piece sort of
yes.
looked at how the show challenges his legacy. So can you talk about that aspect of him and how the show is responding to it?
Yes, he was definitely that as well. So if you just read his stories, there's very blatant themes of being against these otherworldly creatures that he's making up. And most of those creatures were sort of stand-ins for people in real life that he hated. And if you look at his personal letters and just correspondence, and there are thousands of them collected by his fans, if there is a group that people didn't like in the US, such as Black people, Jewish people, people of different religions, like Muslim people, he pretty much did not like them either, going as far to support the Klan and other terrorist groups. And so the fuel for his writing, which is why it can't really be disentangled, is this hatred and is this bigotry towards the groups in America that weren't white or Catholic or Protestant. And so it's very hard to speak about him without realizing that the reason his work is so popular is because it's based on the unjust fears that people have towards other communities that are typically prejudiced against.
Listeners, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about the new HBO series Lovecraft Country, which is in part filmed and set in Illinois. We're joined by Aja Romano, staff writer for Vox covering culture, and Kennedy Hill, freelance journalist and contributor to Pop Sugar, who has written about the series. We're curious to hear your thoughts if you've seen it, or if you have a question for one of our guests. You can join our conversation at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. AJ, I want to dig into one of the episodes a little bit. The first one is called Sundown, and we heard a clip at the beginning of the segment of the characters being confronted by a racist police officer. You write that quote, "It's rare to see the North's racism get such a harsh excavation, but it's an effective use of literal racism as horror. Without the South's more overt legalized racism, the story's Black characters have to constantly feel their way through every situation. Any town could be a sundown town. Any cop could be a white supremacist. And situations that feel stable could become unstable at any moment," end quote. Can you talk about how the show presents that reality for its characters?
Sure. It does that in a number of ways, both literal and metaphorical. On the metaphorical side, we see, for example, the way that the cops may or may not be in league with actual monsters. So we're, the characters are, as we get to know them, they're feeling their way through literal Lovecraft country, surrounded by cosmic monsters, and trying to figure out who is a potential ally. Spoiler alert, there aren't any, and who isn't. But we're also seeing that literally, as we see them being harassed by police, being harassed and essentially held prisoner by a group of, basically a group of white cultists. I don't want to spoil the series too much, but basically they're on a search to collect the main character's father because he's gone missing. And the last place he was spotted was this very rich, like ancestral mansion in Massachusetts. And so you have this idea, it's almost like a, what would be normally that sort of narrative would be like, you'd see like a plantation in the South, right? And you'd sort of know the overt nature of the racism that you're walking into, right? That's how that story usually would play out. But in the 50s in Massachusetts, you're not sure what you're walking into. And so the plot really plays with that in a very literal way. So they're trying to figure out what's actually going on in this mansion, who are these people that they're interacting with. And there's this very real tension that the show works with, because you're not sure, it has nothing to do with monsters, you're just not sure how racist the people are that you're having to interact with in order to accomplish your goals. And it's, there's this very real, palpable existential dread that comes just from that, where normally that that type of horror would be coming straight from, you know, the idea of there being a monster around the corner.
Yeah, and listeners, if you want to check it out, I should add, we have attached the trailer in the first episode. You can stream for free online, and that you can find that at our show page, 21stshow.org. We also got a tweet from one of our listeners, Joel Johnson, who says the show is crazy fun. Seen three episodes. Each feels like a season finale. The series is sci-fi and based on real terrors for Black people in America. An aspect of the fun is Black lead characters winning, for the most part. And then he goes on to mention a cameo in the series. I'm not going to say who, because I feel like it might be a spoiler. But it, you know, let's just say a notable person from America's, sort of a tragic figure from America's civil rights history. And Kennedy, another piece that you've written on Lovecraft Country's use is one of James Baldwin's historic speeches in one of the episodes. Can you tell us what that was and why it was so profound in one of the episodes?
Yes. So in the first episode, Sundown, there's this montage where the main characters are starting their road trip through the North to save their father, or to save the main character's father. And instead of having music or anything, there is an audio clip of one of James Baldwin's speeches from 1965. That is played over this montage. And it's basically them traveling and all the racist encounters that they experience. And what James Baldwin speaks about in this speech is how he's tasked to try to defend the belief, or, you know, more realistically, the actual fact that Black people are treated differently in the U.S. And his speech is basically saying that you've given me this job to prove that racism is real. But to prove that, I don't just have to prove this one thing, I have to change your entire worldview. And so the use of this clip is so effective, one, because it speaks to the actual encounters that the main characters are facing from racist people during their journey, but also points to how they're about to go into this journey with monsters and this new world that is going to have to totally reshape how they think and how they see themselves in this world, now learning that they aren't, they being humans, are at the center of it. And so it really works on two different levels to say what's happening to them currently, and also what's going to have to change with their worldview as the show continues.
And Kennedy, I want to ask, as a woman of color, if you can talk about what your experience is of watching this series, both, you know, as a consumer, and then also the idea that it is, you know, the showrunner, the executive producers are people of color. It's a largely Black cast, the protagonists anyway. Can you talk about your experience of that?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, ever since I was younger, I've always been a sci-fi fan. I studied science in college, so it's really just an area that I've always really enjoyed. And kind of like in most areas of art or film, like, there isn't a lot of representation, not only for Black women or women in general, but Latino people and Asian people and just a lot of marginalized communities. So having this show on HBO, which is such an amazing platform, was already seen as such a win, and especially since the show is good, which kind of
that helps
kind of doubles down on that validation. And so actually watching its content, I feel like sometimes when there are Black stories, they try to, not try to, but they often kind of rely on slavery or racism as a source of putting Black people down or putting people marginalized down. But this show really kind of sees it as effects. Like, this is happening. How are we going to rise above it? How are we going to work in this world and not just be the ones who are always looked down upon, not just be the ones who have a sob story? Like, we're going to be the protagonists in our stories. So just watching it has been very, I don't say inspiring, but it's just been like very fulfilling to see that there's a story out there where we don't shy over the prejudice and racism, but instead acknowledge it while also having our own stories and aren't just told through the white eye that would only rely on interaction with white racists.
Well, like I said, if you want to check the show out, it's on HBO. We'll also have a link to the trailer in the first episode on our website, 21stshow.org. Kennedy Hill is a contributor to Pop Sugar, who's written about, and among her stories are how Lovecraft Country challenges H.P. Lovecraft's racist legacy. We've also been speaking with Aja Romano, staff writer for Vox, covering culture. Aja and Kennedy, thank you so much for being with us and talking about Lovecraft Country today.
Thank you.
And listeners, that is it for the 21st today. Before we go, I do want to make a pitch for joining our texting group. We've been hearing interesting things from listeners. It informs our coverage. You can join by texting the word TALK to 217-803-0730. Again, the word is TALK. The number is 217-803-0730. The 21st is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Eunice Alpasan's our engagement producer, and our intern is Zainab Qureshi. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick's our news director. I'm Brian Mackey, and The 21st is produced by Illinois Public Media.